brilliance of Disney animation began to fade. Despite Eisner's sense that he had little in common with Walt, there were certain elements of the Walt story that especially appealed to him. As he later wrote, "I was fascinated at a personal level by Walt's resilience, optimism, and restlessness in the face of the endless obstacles that began with a very difficult childhood and continued in his work life right up until his death in 1966. I was awed at a professional level by Walt's immense creativity and originality, both as an artist and businessman stretching over a remarkable 40-year period." Eisner, too, thought of himself as creative, like Walt, a storyteller at heart. He had majored in literature in college, dabbled in playwriting, and prided himself on his ability to evaluate a script. Walt relied on Roy to oversee the more mundane tasks of finance and administration. Eisner now had Frank Wells. But Eisner was also well aware that his affluent Park Avenue upbringing was very different from Walt's. Eisner's maternal grandfather, Milton Damon, was a self-made millionaire who became president of the American Safety Razor Company before selling it to Philip Morris. For a time, his grandfather was the second largest individual shareholder in Philip Morris. The Eisner side of the family was also wealthy. Michael's great-grandfather had made his fortune manufacturing uniforms for the Army and the Boy Scouts. Michael's father attended Princeton and Harvard Law School, and his mother grew up on an estate in Bedford Hills, New York, with 15 servants and staff. Despite the family wealth, Eisner's grandparents displayed a frugality often associated with old money. The young Eisner was once riding in a taxi during a snowstorm when he spotted his grandmother in her 80s boarding a bus outside Bloomingdale's department store. He had the taxi stop, intercepted his grandmother, and insisted she join him.
"Why are you wasting money on a cab?" she demanded.
His grandfather insisted on crossing into Manhattan on the Willis Avenue Bridge rather than the Triborough Bridge to save the 25-cent toll. Michael, his sister Margot, and their parents divided their time between an apartment on Park Avenue, the Bedford estate, and a farm in Vermont. Michael knew from a young age that his family was wealthy, especially his grandparents, but discussion of money was taboo, as off-limits as sex. His family had an aversion to people who flaunted their wealth or called attention to their charitable donations, attitudes common in old-line, wealthy establishment families, but not in Hollywood or Beverly Hills. In many ways, Eisner idolized his father, Lester, who was handsome, athletic, charismatic, and energetic, though remote from his son. In the summer of 1949, when Michael was 7, his father put him into the family Buick for a drive to Camp Keewaydin, near Middlebury, Vermont, the first time Eisner can remember being alone with his father. Michael's father, grandfather, and uncles had all gone to Keewaydin, founded in 1910 as one of America's first summer wilderness camps for boys. The camp fireplace had been donated by Michael's grandfather and bore a plaque commemorating his uncle Jacques, a Keewaydin alumnus killed in the Battle of Guadalcanal. Other trophies and plaques cited various Eisners for their prowess in swimming, canoeing, and as best athlete. It was dark when they arrived, and a nervous Michael was left alone to sleep in a wigwam with other boys. After a day of touring the camp and joining in activities with other campers, the camp leader conferred with Michael's father, and then asked if Michael